Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. In springtime, allergies can sometimes be my kryptonite. When my nose is plugged up and my eyes are watering, I feel like I struggle more to do the things I really enjoy. Making dinner, heading outside to get my sunlight before noon, and even hosting the show can be a bit more challenging. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medication and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for several years, and it's been an absolute life changer. My eyes aren't a constant, itchy, drippy faucet, my nose isn't running, and I can speak without feeling like something has jumped in my throat. And I love that Claritin D tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or cold, and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Use as directed. Welcome to the 1000 Hours Outside podcast. My name is Ginny Urich. I'm the founder of 1000 Hours Outside and so excited today for the very first time to have a survival expert, survival school founder. It's really awesome. Tim Swanson, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
This is awesome what you do. You have a school called Owl Eyes Wilderness Survival School. Would you call it a school?
In a way, it's a school. I don't have a physical place because I have land use permission and a whole bunch of public conservation land properties.
Yeah, it's like a traveling school.
Exactly, yeah. It's definitely a school, but in a way, it's not.
It's a school without a physical location, one specific physical location.
Exactly.
Which is awesome. It's a traveling wilderness survival school that seeks to connect people of all ages to the landscape in hopes to protect and restore our natural world. You're doing such incredible things. Can you tell us, Tim, how you ended up here? Did the pandemic play into it at all?
Oh, it totally did. So growing up, I was always just into nature. That was my thing. So I never really got into it, I'd say.
Okay. How were you parented then? Were you just allowed to be outside? Where did you live?
Totally. Yep. So I grew up in Pepperell, Massachusetts, and I, you know, was always outside catching the crickets under the rocks on the walkway there and just, you know, tracking around the yard, things like that when I was young, and just always wanted kind of like the bug toys and the, you know, bird books and stuff. I never wanted like action figures and cars, you know. And then growing up, like throughout high school, I started to get into, you know, wild edible plants and hide tanning. So I was bringing like little chipmunk skins to class. You know, working on them and stuff. So,
did you have any friends that were doing the same thing? It's so unique.
No, not at all, actually. So, yeah. So, my friend group, they all kind of went off playing video games and, you know, like sports and stuff like that. And then I kind of went off into like hiking and shelter building and tracking and stuff. So, no harm done there, but we just don't really stay in touch because we just went our separate ways, obviously. Yeah. But, and then I went to Unity College in Maine for adventure education, leadership, and adventure therapy. And there was a primitive skills club there. There was the search and rescue team, archery club. There's all these clubs plus my majors that I was doing, my double bachelor's degree. So I was doing a whole bunch of backpacking, sea kayaking, rock climbing trips, things like that. And then after that, I kind of skipped around to some wilderness therapy organizations in Vermont and Utah, working with like at-risk teens, they call them. And then that's actually when I started my business because I accidentally started my whole business, to be honest with you. I applied to go work as like a nature educator at a place. And I went into the interview. I thought it was a full-time job. It said nothing on the thing about it only being 2 hours a week. But she asked, she was like, well, why do you want this job? I was like, oh, it seems like a great full-time job. This is what I want to do. She's like, wait, it's only 2 hours a week. I was like, what? And then she's like, all right, but you do all these things. So why don't we do a however, so I think I led, it was either a foraging class or a tracking class. Wow. And then just throughout that, it was kind of a weekend gig for me for a while. And then it started to grow over the years. I'm going on year 9 in 2023.
So wow, Tim.
It started to grow. And then as soon as the pandemic happened, you know how it is. Everybody put their kids in homeschool. Mm-hmm. And then I actually got laid off from my other job. So it was like, all right, because I was getting, I put up one Facebook post. And I think within 3 days, I got like 70 emails of people trying to book a class.
Wow.
So I was like, this is it. If I'm not going to go full time with it now, I'm never going to go. So let's just go.
Wow. You seized the opportunity. That's incredible.
Yeah. So, and it's, you know, it's good work. And, you know, I noticed that there's a lot of change in people's lives I'm doing, which is special.
Yeah.
And, you know, just adults and kids, really. So I mostly work with kids, homeschool kids. Wow. That's my Monday to Friday.
Yeah. I talked to my husband, like, we got to fly out there because we homeschool and I want to come to a class, or maybe we'll bring like our whole group out to you.
That's awesome.
Can you tell people about some of the classes that you teach? Well, I have made a list here from your website, and maybe what's your most popular. So can we go category by category? So you have adult survival classes.
Yep. That's kind of like what I call like my well-rounded, like if you want to just learn as much as you possibly can from me, take those classes. And when I say adult, I consider like a mature 12-year-old to be adult, like in those classes. Adult means like we're not going to, you know, kids classes, we're playing a lot of games and there's a lot less information, a lot more like movement. And then adults, it's very hands-on, but you know, adults and kids learn differently. So what that is everyone starts at Survival 1, and that's kind of what I call the introduction to nature or the backpacker survival. So it's what can we go and buy that we can bring out with us into the woods to help us survive, to bring on a trip with us, whatever, right? So it's like map and compass, fire building with matches, and those ferro rod, flint, you know, they make sparks there. We make throwing stick hunting weapons. We talk about wild edible plants. We learn how to build a tarp and a trash bag shelter.
Wow.
So it's kind of like gear oriented, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in Survival 2 and 3, people learn how to start fire by rubbing sticks together. You know, we make fishing hand lines and plant cordage in Survival 3. Survival 2, we learn how to boil water without a metal pot. You know, all different types of different skills, right?
How to boil water without a pot. So
exactly.
Interesting.
I'll leave everyone to wonder about that.
Yeah, sure.
Not a lot of people know how. Yeah.
Right. I don't know how.
So.
I'm curious about mayhem on the mountain, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, so Survival 4 is kind of like the long-term projects that I want people to do, but that just take a while. So we only cover like 3 or 4 things, just a couple knots, because I like to talk about knots in each one. But then they make the atlatl, which takes a few hours. And then they make coal burnt bowls. So they make wooden bowls with coals from a fire.
Wow.
You can boil water in those too. So
You
just take hot rocks, heat them up, and then drop them in the water in that pot. And then Survival 5 or Mountain Mayhem. I do that once a year, and that's like the biggest thing because it's a whole different, I've never seen a class like this offered. And this is something I've had in my mind literally since I've gone to college, and I just offered it for the first time last year.
Oh, how'd it go?
I guess this year, right? This previous August. So it went awesome. So what it is you sign up, you come Thursday, and you learn what we call the core skills. So it's like basic fire building and just general survival stuff, how to make rope out of plants, an animal trap in case you're in a survival situation, things like that. And then Friday, there's multiple instructors. So this year we had 3 instructors, me, my friend Kate, my friend Doug, very good, well-known instructors there. And we each teach what we call our survival style. So we have different, we each teach a food or a hunting method, a fire method, a water method, and a shelter building method. So we all taught something different. So people get to choose which team they're on. They learn from us. And then Saturday, we put them in kind of like a intense, it's fun, but it's like a survival competition, you know, either an individual or team challenges.
Yeah.
So we did like this past year, we did axe throwing. We didn't even teach them axe throwing. We just kind of threw it at them. It was like, all right. So it was more like by luck, but for fun.
Yeah.
Then we did a whole bunch of different fire challenges. Like, okay, you guys are with your team. Whoever burns this string wins this prize. And then all the prizes they won, they get to keep them, but they also were allowed to bring them on a survival overnight that we gave them Saturday night is kind of the final challenge.
Wow.
So yeah, but that's when, you know, I bring the leaf blower out and the watering can, and they have to, I call it the hurricane hustle. That was the final competitive challenge. So they all had to go in a circle that I made with a climbing rope, and they have to build a fire in the circle, but I'm running around the circle with a leaf blower and a watering can trying to put their fires out, you know, with like sideways rain and wind. So that was a good time. I don't want to do that just
like
to do
hurricane.
That. Exactly.
A man-made hurricane. This is, it's really impressive. So if people are interested in Mayhem on the Mountain, which is so creative, you already have your date set for 2023. It's in September.
Yeah,
am I right about that?
Yeah, it's the last weekend in September. So it's September to October, pretty much.
In Maine will be the one next year.
Yeah, and that's at the Moose Ridge Wilderness School up in Maine.
So how many, is it a small group and people really get to know each other?
Yeah, well, we had, I think we had 13 students this past year. We're aiming for 30 this year.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you first start it the first time, people kind of are like looking at like, oh, well, I'm
what
interested, but like, what is it? So this year, people have already expressed interest. So even alumni are coming back too. So people who already took it. So we're going to do a whole bunch of different challenges. Yeah. I'm talking to a few other instructors and stuff who might want to join in. So.
Yeah. And then you have Survival 6, which is a week in the wilderness.
So what I offer is a certification program. I call it the Alula certification, which for people who don't know, the Alula is the leading feather in a bird's wing. So for me, it just kind of serves as a metaphor. So if adults take Survival 1 to Survival 5 and they complete kind of my whole curriculum, then they are invited to Survival 6, which is, I want that to be a very hard challenge for people who are ready to challenge themselves. So that's going to be a 6-day survival course. So 5 nights, 6 days. And, you know, I'm still, cause I just haven't even, I don't even have any, I have 2 adults that are like Alula certified right now. So after 2 years of, you know, getting people up there, I'll offer it. So 2024, I'm going to offer that. And it's, you know, you start with nothing and then you have to earn your survival kit. And then, you know, you're out there, you might be surviving solo or with the group or.
Tim, it's really interesting because it's one thing to have all of the skills yourself, and it's another thing to be able to teach a class on the different topics. But then I think it's a whole other thing to have built out this entire curriculum, Survival 1 to 6, and to have thought through all the different pieces of it. Where did that come from? Has that just been built over the years? Did you learn some of that in college?
Oh, it just came from me losing a lot of sleep up all night, you know, just thinking about
thinking it through.
Yeah. Cause this is my passion. You know, this is what I'm excited about. So it's, you know, I'm thankful to be able to turn it into that. So I have all these ideas, more than half of them never happen, you know, cause I also need people interested in them, but so this is kind of like what's been able to happen. So, and it's, and I want to go deeper in my skills. So I hope students want to as well. So that's why, you know, I kind of have Survival 6. I mean, that's like a bit like getting up there. That's already hours upon hours, days of training, you know, so you have to come train and really commit to your own practice in order to progress, you know?
Yeah. I love that approach that you can progress through. And so you've set up this amazing system. So not only do you have the adult classes, but then you have children's survival classes.
Yep.
So what do you do with the kids? And I'd like to hear a little bit about the games. I mean, that sounds so
fun.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I'll talk about my favorite games. So the kids' survival programs, I guess I kind of have 2 types of classes. I have programs and I have what I call one-off classes. Mm-hmm. So I have 2 children's survival one-off classes. I call it the survival sampler. So it's A and B. So for kids, getting lost in the woods is a lot different than adults getting lost in the woods. I always, and I tell the kids this, I'm like, if you guys go missing tonight, everybody's going to know. Everybody. Yeah. Your parents are going to say, oh, they're not home, or your parents are watching you.
Right.
If I go missing, it might be a week before someone's like, oh, Tim hasn't called me. I wonder if he's okay. And then they try to, you know what I mean? So then the priorities for kids and adults are different. So for kids, it's all about build a shelter. So stay warm, right? Mm-hmm. And stay dry. So in the survival one, survival A for them, they learn just some knives, just to get used to knives. And I've had these young as 4-year-olds using knives. It's up to the parents, you know, so.
Yeah, that's common though. That is common in other parts of the world, age 4.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like children will be using like machetes and stuff, you know, so it's like, it's all about the respect you give the tool. And I always say knives aren't weapons. Knives are tools that we use to make cool weapons. Mm-hmm. So then we let them make throwing sticks and atlatls and things like that. Yeah. So that's that. And then, but then the homeschool programs, that's where I really get to go deep with the, survival skills and stuff, or just skills. Cause I have a craft, I have 2 crafting ones and I have a fishing program.
Yeah.
One that's specifically just a fire program, my fire master, that's a 5-week program. And, and then 2 survival classes. So the 2 survival classes, they're 6 weeks long and they're 3 hours each class. So survival A, or I call it survivalist A, you know, so that's fire. So that's like ferro rods and matches and how to build a fire, and then a shelter class, a knife class, and they're using knives and doing fire throughout the whole program. Cause I like to give them little challenges and stuff. And then they get to go over camouflage, atlatl, archery, and throwing sticks. So it's all, it's a, you know, it's a well-rounded program for kids to learn a whole bunch of skills. And I always, you know, incorporate, I just love playing games for me. Cause I like to move and I like to, it brings things up, cause you can't, you know, learning for just 3 hours straight, it's very hands-on, but it's still like mentally taxing to learn new skills that really hard. So breaks and stuff like that. But a few games I like to play. My favorite one is called Otter Steals Fish. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
No, tell us.
So what that is, I have all the kids put their backpacks in a circle, and I have a little game bag with all these bandanas that I use sometimes. And I have a little dog toy fish. It even has like a little squeaker in it and everything. But so the fish goes in the middle of the circle. Everybody stands on the outside of the circle. And then there's one person who's it, who's the heron. They're the great blue heron, you know. So they have to guard the fish. They can't sit on it. They can't stand on it. But they need to guard the fish. So they can tag anybody that comes inside the circle. So the otters on the outside have to grab the fish and get it outside the circle. So the heron tags every, you know, so they get to tag everybody. And that's my favorite game just because it's very fast paced.
Yeah.
And it's fair because, you know, as you know, sometimes when kids lose, they get upset. Mm-hmm. And I am all about not everyone's going to win, right?
Right, it's, right.
You're going to lose sometimes. Yeah. So learn that lesson now. So I like to play, I do play games where there are losers and there are winners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's an important lesson to learn.
But the cool thing about this, exactly. But it's like, well, if you lose this round, literally wait 30 seconds because it's so quick that you get another chance. You know, like it's okay to lose. Better luck next time.
Right.
So that's what I like about that game is there's a lot of, and it's just, it, sometimes the kid's like on all fours, kind of crawling and stuff. So it's a different way to move your body as well. So,
yeah. I would imagine that these kids are making really good friendships.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I get, a lot of times I get homeschool pods. So the kids already know each other, but then this gives them a chance to at least do different things together. And I'll pair them up sometimes differently and have different kids.
Yeah. Wow. So they're really building deep relationships because they're having all of these experiences together and they're learning new things together. And that really bonds you for the long term. That's fantastic. And kids as young as age 6 are taking your survivalist class. And then the wildcrafter ones sound fantastic too, where you're learning how to make all sorts of things. Can you tell us about what are they learning how to craft?
Sure. So in wildcrafter A, they go over spoon carving. So that's actually right away I put kids, that's what I call an intermediate knife skill. Because spoons are, they require a hook knife, a different type of tool. So right away they go into it. And then they work on, I have these little dried gourds, and they make little gourd, I call them like potion bottles or little containers, you know? So, and then they make, they carve fishing hand lines. Right. And the last one is, what do they make there? They make, leather pouches. So they get to learn how to stitch. So each of the wildcrafter programs, they're designed to have different. So you have two carving things. You have a gourd. So it's not wood. It's something different. Yeah. They're learning how to use saws and different types and a lot of rope work because they make little jute twine nets to put around them. And then they learn how to sew with leather.
Wow, Tim.
And then wildcrafter B, they make forks. So that's a lot different than spoons because we're using saws to cut the tines. Wow. And then they make slingshots, which is like, I don't know. You know, we'll say I actually have a program right now because I just made that new for 2023, but I have a program now with kids who have worked with me many weeks and they parents booked them. So I was like, well, let's give them these new ones that I was going to offer next year. So they're kind of like my trial class. They're doing great. So they're making slingshots actually next week. So we'll see.
Wow.
But, and then we make arrows because learning how to make an arrow is very important. And then we're going to modify the slingshots to actually shoot the arrows. So they can shoot rocks out of them, but they can also shoot arrows out of them. And then they learn. So the last one, so wildcrafter B, obviously you have to take A first. Mm-hmm. So these are kids who have worked with me now for 7 weeks. And then the 8th week is carving wooden animals.
Oh, which those are the coolest.
Yeah. So that's, you know, you probably saw a couple that I make. Those are hard to even teach adults, but I like to hold kids to high standards, you know, because I want to get them good with their knives.
Yeah.
You know, so it depends. Yeah. I obviously gauge the group on different things. I have different, like bears are easy to carve or snakes or fish, you know.
Yeah, you start with something easier and you can work your way up.
So
it's no secret. We love music in our household. And music lessons don't need to be expensive, boring, or stressful. Vogtberg Music Academy offers online lessons that siblings can share in the comfort of your own home. Instead of dragging kids to lessons and paying hundreds of dollars a month for one student, use my code OUTSIDE to get 50% off the first month when your children learns piano, fiddle, guitar, mandolin, or ukulele at VogtbergMusicAcademy.com. For only $15, get weekly lessons and practice principles, 24/7 access to your instructor, live student onboarding calls, and video vaults that provide dozens of extra lessons for students who want to progress faster. With Vogtberg Music Academy, you will never have to nag your children to practice as they work toward earning badges on their success path and performing for community student showcases. Once again, use my code OUTSIDE to give it a try. You get 50% off this month and give your children a lifelong love of music at VoteBergMusicAcademy.com. That's spelled VoeTBerg MusicAcademy.com and use code OUTSIDE when you sign up. This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a 1% for the planet member who believes personal health and health of the environment are connected. If you spend as much time outside as we do, which we hope you do, or really any time outside at all for that matter, you're bound to have kids that get nicked, scraped, or banged up, or perhaps come in from outside with an unexplained rash, or maybe you end up on the wrong side of a fall or a bad scrape yourself. That's why we love Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is an all-natural and non-toxic topical solution that is formulated to help repair and heal damaged skin. It can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, but also burns, sunburns, rashes, and other types of skin damage. It works by mimicking the natural immune response to help soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. It's also safe and non-toxic, making it suitable for use on all skin types, including sensitive skin. It's really easy to add to your first aid kit. As if all of that wasn't amazing enough, Active Skin Repair donates 1% of all sales to grassroots environmental initiatives to protect and restore our national world, which is super cool. Visit ActiveSkinRepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and their commitment to 1% for the planet. You can use code 1000hours to save 20% on all Active Skin Repair products. That's ActiveSkinRepair.com.
Well, even on the spoons, I saw on your website and I took a screenshot of it because I thought they were so cool, but I didn't realize how intricate some of these spoons could be. Like one of these spoons has like a little dancer on the top of it, but one of them's got a snake.
Yeah. I call him Spoon Man Slim. And then I have a fork guy doing the same thing. So I have a matching set.
There. Oh, that's really, really neat. And that's a class that you would offer standalone as well, which is the spoon and fork carving. And you would come away with a really cool, something that you finished that you've made with your own hands. These are all amazing looking. They're beautiful with all the wood grain and some of them have different special touches on them. But I mean, that's fantastic. So tell people where you're at. Oh. And I know you would travel. People pay for it.
Yep.
You would come to them. So if they've got a group, any type of a group, I know you do travel as long as it's affordable.
Exactly. So I'm in Massachusetts. Everything I do, I live in Massachusetts, but I've been getting people in Southern New Hampshire booking me now, or people in Vermont. I'll teach classes up in Maine. So at this point I can say throughout New England, but I also was living out in Colorado for a while and got like semi-established out there. So I do have people reaching out. So like I'm flying out there for 2 weeks this summer. And I'm offering a couple things out there. You know, sometimes people email me from like California. It hasn't happened yet, but it's like, sure.
You know, yeah, they'll pay for you to come out. Sure.
Yeah, like get a whole bunch of stuff, make it worth it for you. And, you know, so because that's the beauty of it is I designed all my programs because I don't have a school. So it's just all you just need pretty much a knife and, you know, maybe a couple tools, but everything else is all figured out. So it's all very mobile.
Yeah, it's something for people to think of if they have a forest school, if they have a homeschool group, and they could bring you out for some different types of things. Where you're located is Massachusetts. So, and people are interested and they live out that way or they're interested in booking you, your website is owleyeswilderness.com. And you have a blog there too with some really cool articles. Well, you have an art contest. Is that new?
Oh, I did that. I think it was just the month of September. I did an art contest and these two girls, actually two sisters, won each category.
Wow.
And they won hats. So that was just
That's awesome.
I like to do little fun things to get people engaged just to mix it up, give people something different to do. And yeah, so I'll have to do something, maybe like a carving contest or something at some point.
That's really neat. So you've got a lot of cool stuff on your website, on your blog, and then you have a really great book list on there. So owleyeswilderness.com. And then we connected on social media at Owl Eyes Wilderness. Someone recommended you, which that doesn't happen very much. So that was really cool. And I'm so glad that you were willing to do this. I'm curious about your degrees because I feel, and maybe things have changed, but when I was a kid, it was like you could be a teacher or a policeman or a nurse, or I'm not quite sure. I mean, it was like this small amount of things that you knew about. And I would have had no idea that you could go to school for survival skills and you have a double bachelor's degree. So can you tell us how you even found that in the first place? And what was adventure education leadership and adventure therapy? Like, what are those degrees like? like? How do you get them?
So Unity College, they're up in Unity, Maine. Ever hear about the Common Ground Country Fair? It's like a big Maine organic farmer. It's like a big organic kind of like farming and gardening fair that they do every September. That's how people usually know, but it's in that, the college is in that town. Pretty much that town has like a gas station and then a college, you know, a couple pizza plates, but it's like a very, you know, small farming town with this college in it. So I went there from 2010 to 2014 and I heard about it. My dad's childhood friend actually ended up going there. So I heard about it from him and then I just kind of looked it up and stuff. And they actually came to my high school and did a talk too. And it was like me and one other student went, and, you know, it's America's Environmental College. So they have majors like conservation, law enforcement, and captive wildlife care was their two biggest ones. And then, you know, they had like marine bio, environmental bio, all this. And then they had adventure education leadership. I went there for that. And then eventually I was like, oh, adventure therapy. And I only need to add like a couple classes to have two degrees. Sure, let's go. So I did that. And actually, I'm more interested in the adventure therapy at this point, which is because that's like more like therapy in nature. But both of them were pretty much very similar. Pretty much my classes were like, I guess there was like three categories of classes. There was like the hard skills. So literally a backpacking class. I was a TA, you know, when I was a senior or junior, whatever, I was a TA of the backpacking class for them and took a cross country skiing class, two rock climbing classes, sea kayaking.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So
what
it's like
a cool college experience.
Yeah. So it was great. And then there was a lot of group process classes. So a lot about group management and just being able to be a leader. Right.
Right.
And then there was like the psychology classes and then like the required stuff, like, you know, I got a C in statistics. That was my, I got A's and B's in stats. I got a C, you know, but I don't know. I'm not good with numbers.
Yeah, that's so neat. And I think it's always neat to learn about all the options that are out there for kids that are like how you were when you were a kid. And I have friends where their kids are out doing that type of stuff. And so for them to know that there are these options, really neat hands-on college options for people that are interested in getting outside. And I had written down about the cross-country skiing. And then I had written down that you've done whitewater canoeing.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So back in college, we did, you know, some trips down rivers and stuff. You learn all the safety stuff for like, you know, how people go whitewater, like these giant crazy things. But, you know, being able to maneuver through that when you go on rivers, like up in the Allegash River up in Maine, for example. You know,
I can't imagine doing that in a canoe.
Oh, yeah.
You see kayaks and you see rafts.
Yeah. Canoe. Yeah. It's very, you usually end up in the water, you know, unless you're like, unless you're like really work together because you have two people in the canoe, you know, so it's usually you see people flip over and they're sinking down and you kind of just expect it. So you set up all the, you know, the ropes and stuff to whip out to them. And
wow. Yeah. Are these people in college or people you said you're going into year nine? Are there relationships that you've built through all of your wilderness activities that have stayed strong to this day? Because I would imagine that that's the type of environment where you really forge friendships.
Oh, totally. And even you know, like other instructors that are around my area, it's really not a competitive, at least in New England, at least we're not in competition with each other. We're like hiring each other for classes.
Yeah.
We're directing people to each other. So I think it's just because we're excited about it and the people who are doing it are passionate about it. So I think that's the main reason, but we're also spread out. Like I live the closest to Boston really than anybody else.
Right.
So it is, you know, it's like my other friend in Southern New Hampshire, they have a couple people up in Maine. So we're all throughout New England. And these are people that I like literally trust with my life, you know, because these are people that I've had my back in wilderness contexts.
Right.
You know, so like on week-long trips. And then even my college friends, even still, you know, I stay in touch with them and do I'm actually flying out to Washington next year to go visit my old roommate there. He's in the Coast Guard, so he's stationed out there.
Yeah, I could see. I mean, because you've had experiences with other people that most people never have with other people. Whitewater canoeing and all of these different things where you're backpacking. And so you have these such distinct memories with other people. It's different than sitting next to someone in a class or studying for a test together. Yeah. You know, those are great things too, but you've done really intense things with other people.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's the best stories, you know, is when you're curled up in a ball when like a rain thunderstorm, just trying to stay in lightning position, you know, all night, you know, those are the best, in my opinion, is like the worst stories are the best stories.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because you're never going to forget them. Yeah,
exactly.
For sure. So do you find, Tim, so you're teaching all of these skills that you already know and are already an expert at. Are you still pushing yourself? Are there things that you're still learning that interest you?
Oh, totally. Yeah. So every year I budget to take classes from other instructors.
Oh, that's cool.
that looks different every year. So I'll take classes, things like that all the time. And I'm always just pushing my skills. Like the cool thing about all the survival skills is, or the primitive skills or earth skills, or, you know, whatever people call them now, you can't be good at it all. It's like, if you want to be good at basket weaving, you can't be good at flint napping. Or if you want to be good at both of those, you can't be good at hide tanning, because there's just not enough time. So you, the cool thing is that's why we create, that's what community is all about, right? Is like one person's good at this and the other person's good at this. So let's trade, you know, let's figure it out. Let's support each other. So I'm always just doing different things. So this time of year, it's all about foraging acorns. Mm-hmm. And then it's obviously hunting season. So this is when I'm like working a whole bunch of deer hides, because I get hides from hunters, because they're going to throw them away anyway. So I just put out a little Facebook post, ask for hides, and I just go and pick them up. And then because I make buckskin. So I tan my own leather. Wow. And then make stuff out of that. So that's something I've been interested in since I was like a kid, pretty much, is like buckskin. So that's kind of something I'm always, because there's always different ways.
What can you make out of it?
Well, I made it, but the big thing I made is I actually made a hoodie out of buckskin. So I don't know if you saw that on my social media or not. There's a couple pictures floating around.
I'll look back.
It's that tan colored hoodie I'm wearing in a few photos. It's on my website. I'm sure I have a few photos of it. And then I made like a baseball hat, and that's made out of fishskin leather and buckskin. All different pouches. My archery quiver is buckskin. I'm working on a pair of shorts now. So I'll get I got the hoodie, the hat, and the shorts. So then after that, I'll make a pair of footwear somehow, you know?
Wow.
But I'm not wearing this stuff to the grocery store, you know, because I don't want to draw any attention, but.
But that is a huge skill set. And I had read, I think somewhere on your site, where if kids are joining in or adults, you know, you're learning how to cut out the patterns, and there's a lot to learn there. There's a lot to learn through the learning of one skill.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
That's really interesting. You just take foraging, or you just take, well, foraging is a huge, but you just take making a hat. I mean, you would learn so many different things just through the process of making one hat. And we're reading My Side of the Mountain, which reminds me of quite a bit, because he was sewing clothes and that type of thing. So that's really impressive that you're continuing to learn and pushing yourself. And then you talk about how you're able to accommodate different skill levels. So do you find that when people come to your classes, some people are ready to go and other people are more tentative? And how do you sort of bridge that gap?
Oh yeah. So, I mean, and even like with different learning styles too, you know, so it's, there's definitely a group pace, but I'm able to, because sometimes what it might mean, especially for kids, is, you know, I might catch a kid up and like, you know, carve a little bit of their spoon for them just to kind of show them, like maybe I'll do half of one side of the neck and then they can do the other side, you know, but just to, so sometimes there's some kids who aren't, you know, or they might be afraid or nervous with the knife. So I just say like, all right, well, why don't you just sit there and just hold the knife in the sheath. And when you're ready, take it out. I'm attached to just teaching them the skill, but I'm not attached to the outcome, right? Because the first thing you make isn't going to be the best thing you make by any.
Right.
I've seen some interesting things come out of classes, but it's your first one. It's like the first one anyone ever does anything. You're not going to be good, you know? And that's the beauty of it, is you're doing it because you like it. You know, you're not doing it because you're good at it. Some people though, oh my goodness. You know, you just know, I'm sure everyone knows someone who's just good at everything they do.
Some students come to my class
and they just whip out these spoons. And it's like, what is it like? How did you do that? You know? So it's all different, you know? So it's some people carved, but everyone's at where they're at, you know? So it's, they're there for them. They're there to learn. And that's the environment I like to create. There's no competition. Like, you know, this guy over here might be a chainsaw artist. And then this person over here may have just cut like tomatoes on a cutting board and nothing else with a knife, you know? And I see no difference in skill level between kids and adults in terms of like, if they're new to it. Like it's almost easier for me to train kids, because that's, you know, their brain is still developing and they can kind of wire that into their brain a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then with adults, sometimes we're just stuck in some more bad habits, I guess, as adults, you know, we have other experiences and stuff. So we might, or whatever. Like I have some adults who have used knives and then they're a little bit different with them.
And sometimes maybe adults are even more tentative because kids just kind of dive in and there's an expectation that they're still allowed to learn and grow. And sometimes with adults, it feels like, oh, well, you should already be good at this, or you should already know what you're doing. And so there's a little bit less of effort, I think. So it's really a neat thing to offer. I think as adults, a lot of times we stop learning and we stop growing. So it's really a neat thing to offer that for adults and for them to come out with a new skill set and to learn that they can grow and they can learn. And that kind of applies to all sorts of different things. How do you deal with weather?
So I say classes run rain or shine or snow or whatever. If it's unsafe, obviously I'll cancel it. Like when I was out in Colorado, there was like fires all over the place. So that was a whole different, because I'm not used to that in New England. So if it's like a blizzard or the thunderstorm, whatever, class is done. We'll figure it out. We'll reschedule, figure it out. But if it's raining, class will happen. And I always just say, consider yourself lucky, because now your training is harder and you're going to be better.
Wow.
Right. So that's obviously, you know, I'm not like a, you know, I'm a nice guy. So if it's like really bad, but if people are excited and ready to do it, let's do it. So I have what I call my curriculum backpack. So that's full of, you know, student knives that I let students use, saws, the fire starters. And I have a nice big tarp that I just bring to every single class just in case, just so we at least have something, you know, overhead to work with. So
we love bread in our house. I mean, who doesn't? PB&Js, turkey sandwiches, even just morning toast with butter. It's all good in our home. We're always on the hunt for a healthy alternative. That's why our family loves Hero Bread. It is delicious. They make delicious bread and products free of consequences or compromise. They've made carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. We love the classic white bread and the seeded bread, which are both made with olive oil and have a wonderful, rich taste to them. I was so surprised how soft both types of bread were. They were just the right blend of chewiness and sturdiness for making sandwiches. This bread is a favorite in our house for sure. The tortillas were also delicious, and we loved making simple cheese quesadillas as a snack. We're talking zero net carbs, high in fiber, 0 grams of sugar. What more could you ask for? Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code OUTSIDE at checkout. That's code OUTSIDE at hero.co. Hair thinning is complicated. The problem is, it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for only 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OUTSIDE. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com is spelled Nutrafol.com. Promo code is OUTSIDE. That's Nutrafol.com. Promo code OUTSIDE.
But like you said, sometimes those are the most memorable.
Exactly.
Forge through and through the bad weather and taught in all sorts of different environments then, because you've traveled to teach classes. Are things pretty much the same no matter what environment that you're in? The basics?
Yeah, everything I teach pretty much I can teach anywhere. You know, it's just as long as there's wood, right? So it's because I lived in Washington State. So that's like the, you know, the Western Washington. So it's like kind of like the rainforest, those giant trees, beautiful area. You know, Utah, I lived in Utah and Colorado. And then obviously throughout New England. So all the environments I have lived in, at least, I just say, learn the plants, learn the animals. As soon as you go somewhere, what are the plants? What are they used for? What are the animals? What do their tracks look like? Because that's the only difference. But beyond that, it's all the same. Like how to start fire by rubbing sticks together, just identify the species that work well. And there you go. Or, you know.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And you, like I said, you've got a book list right on your website, owleyeswilderness.com, where people can go and find some really cool books that you recommend, probably where they could learn the different plants and animals in the different areas. So there was something interesting on your website. It kind of relates to what we're doing right now, which is we're on a screen. And you said there was an article where you had said, the funny thing is that ever since I have become a full-time wilderness survival skills instructor, my computer time has skyrocketed.
Yeah. Tell us about like that. Sacrifice the few to save the many, I guess. But it's, because it's like, well, because when I, it's just, I do everything for my business. So, you know, and I even have like a warning on my website that says like, I'm a wilderness survival skills instructor. Sometimes I spend time out in the woods. Right. So don't expect an email from me for like up to a week, you know, because I'm out doing stuff, but I'm also running this whole by myself. But, you know, there's days where I just have to sit the computer and edit the site or, you know, put different products like up in my shop, do calls, every email, just change things, reach out to venues, all, you know, all that stuff, you know, order business cards or stickers or patches or things like that. So that's a whole thing that I'm learning because I don't have a business background. I consider it successful because like I'm doing it.
Incredible. So here it is. Is it hard to find balance there?
Oh, it is. Because, you know, it's like that quote, do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Do what you love, you'll work every second of your life. That's what, that's the truth. Yeah. So it's like, because I find myself, because I'm so, because I like, if I was working another job, this is what I would be doing personally, right? So this is my personal interest and my professional career. So it's hard for me to find, that's the challenge I'm kind of working on is what's the balance? Because I find that when I do something personal, it pertains to my business. When I do something for my business, it pertains to my personal because it's all the same.
Yeah, that is really interesting because I had written this question here. What is your day-to-day life like outside of wilderness school?
Yeah.
But it's very similar.
Because it's like, if I'm not, it might be like I'm out hunting or foraging, you know, but I'm foraging like acorns this year. I'm foraging for me, but also for classes throughout the year. So it's like, but I'm just doing it because I like it, you know, and I'm passionate about it and I'm thankful can do it as a career, but that's kind of, it's all enmeshed at this point. Yeah. It's all one thing, you know?
Yeah. And that's just something I think new to learn and to sort of figure out and sort through. And while you're learning new skills, you're also learning, like you said, how to run a business, how to run it on your own. And there's so many small things that pop up and big things. But like you said, just business cards and media opportunities. And it just sort of all comes in all these different ways. And I don't know, it's probably somewhat similar to life. It's like, you got to figure out how to survive and keep it going. I had liked in one of the articles, because there was a couple of different news articles on your website. And one of them, you were talking about how you can show your visiting friends a good time. So you were talking about
what happens when your Arizona interview, right?
When your friends visit. And I thought this was neat. Like, we're heading into Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving week when we're recording this. So a lot of people are traveling and they're going to see family. And I think people tend to just sit around. But what do you do when your friends come?
So it's like, I just had a friend visit and, you know, we went out and foraged cranberries. And then there's actually an event down at the Rod and Gun Club there. So you shoot guns just at targets. But if you win the little competition, you get a Thanksgiving turkey. So that was just like a fun, you know, kind of family event. So that's what we did, you know, forage cranberries and go and win a turkey at the Rod and Gun Club, you know. So I got
that's
one
memorable.
Too. So that was a big one. Yeah. You know, but that's usually, or I'll have like next weekend, me and my friend, she's visiting. We're going to go hike up in the Whites. We're going to do a couple mountains. And then the next day we're going to go to the Swift River out in Mass, in Western Mass. So that's what I like to do. You know, it's, you know, sitting down and watching a movie isn't an option. You know, it's for me, it's just like, I want to go out and do cool stuff.
Yeah, that's super inspiring and a great idea for when our family and friends come. I would imagine that a lot of your friends are similar to you in that they like to adventure and do survival type things. Is anyone ever hesitant or are most people just ready to jump in?
I think, yeah, definitely has, like, because I find that I'm kind of like very extreme. For a lot, like personally, cause like, you know, I'll go in and want to do like I did a solo 18 and a half mile hike a couple months ago. And it's like for me to get somebody to do that with me.
Yeah. It's a different level of maybe what people would even be able to do.
Exactly. So that's, you know, that's that obviously, cause I mean, this is what I do. This is my passion and stuff. So I'm always pursuing getting better at these things, you know.
So you might have to tone it down.
Exactly. Or I just have a professional background in doing it. Like I went to college to be a backpacking instructor, you know, so I have all the gear and all the, you know, setup for it. So,
well, tell us about that. We haven't talked about that at all. Tell us about backpacking trips.
Well, so that's my personal, I guess that's a thing for my personal life too, is I just go on personal, you know, back, especially up to the Whites. I'm trying to do all the New Hampshire 4,000 footers. So that's a personal goal of mine that has nothing to do with my business. So that, there we go. There's some personal, professional boundary there. So I'll go on, it's up to the Whites at this point, cause that's just the closest place for me to, I guess I can go to Western Mass, but, so I go up there and, you know, I had the Pemi loop in mind. And of course I had like three different trips planned and then everybody taps out like the last second. So I'm gonna have to just go do it solo or something, but, cause that's a goal of mine to do, cause it's like a 32 32 mile loop.
Wow.
So, and then you do, you know, 10 or 11 mountains. But so yeah, I just love going out and doing that, because that's a good way to relax for me. So,
which is amazing. You
know, yeah.
Go hike amazing.
18
yeah.
miles a day. That's relaxing. Yeah.
Relaxing. Oh, well, you have so many different things that you do and a whole bunch of different certifications. There's a whole list on your website. So is that something that you enjoy doing, or is it sort of something that is kind of required for someone that is in your position?
I think the only thing that's required is the Wilderness First Responder, just because, well, I guess it's not. Like, I could just show up and not be, because it's not. But obviously, I want to uphold that, because any other wilderness place I've worked for, you at least need a Wilderness First Aid, which is a weekend class. I think they should teach this stuff in school, like everything. Like, just teach everybody how to do CPR. Or what do you do if someone's bleeding, right? Like, it's amazing how people don't know that.
First responder type stuff. Right.
Yeah, so, but I have the Wilderness First Responder, which is it's a 10-day course. That's a certification I have to keep updated every 2 to 3 years. So I just go and I do that. I actually just retook the full course just so that I can be brushed up on everything, because the recertification's a weekend, but I went ahead and did the 10-day course again after having it for 10 years or whatever, just because I'm interested in that type of stuff too. And that's survival, really, you know, is medical, right? Survival situations happen because of medical situations. But then a couple of the other ones, like the Leave No Trace Master Educator, I got that when I was in college. So I have it, you know, I don't need to brush up on it. The Cyber Tracker, the Animal Tracker certification, that is a good time. So I'm
what
actually
are those?
Go.
Cyber
so
Tracker.
So Cyber Tracker is, to my understanding, it started out in Africa as like a picture based GPS software. And it was just developed over there for a completely different reason than what it's offered in this country now. Mm-hmm. And then it's eventually turned into like a certification. There's two kind of tests you take. There's track and sign, and there's trailing. Once you do both of those and score at least a level one, then you get to be an animal tracker. So, and then they take the lowest certification of what you have. So I have a level two trailing. I scored an 87 on that. In order to score a 100, you have to find the deer he tells you to find and then go and find it. So I got an 87. So for my first time, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then the track and sign, it's usually a 2-day class, but I took a pass or fail level one class. I scored like a 97.
Wow.
And so that would have been a level three, but it was only a 1-day course. So it was a pass or fail. So, but I want to go and redo my track and sign just to try to, because it's fun to just go and because you learn, you know, because it's always something different. Mm-hmm. But anybody could do that. Anybody could go look them up, sign up. Yeah. And it's a good learning opportunity, even if you don't score.
Right.
It's a good learning opportunity because you learn a ton.
Isn't it interesting just to even learn what's out there, which was kind of what I was talking about earlier with your double bachelor degree. What's even out there? You don't even know. So learning from your website and seeing all of the different, and you have more than that, recreational, avalanche, FEMA incident, command system 100, all these different things in there, archery instructor. It's just inspiring to meet someone who is continuing to learn and wants to learn and grow. And you're finding all sorts of different ways to do that. So a lot of certifications. And then you have a whole list of books, which are fantastic. Foraging, tracking, survival guides, birding, crafting, even games.
Yep. And these are all books I read because my big thing is I always have, you know, different companies reaching out to me just because a lot of like the outdoor community is about gear, right? Because you have to, you know, it's a good idea to have good gear, but I'm not going to recommend something unless I try it. Right. And unless it's like, you know, like I just had a knife company send me a knife and it's like, all right, well, be patient. Let me use it. I'll go bring it out on my trips and do stuff with it. And then I can recommend it after I like it. It looks cool, but I don't care how it looks. I care how it works. So all those books, those are all books that I use personally.
Wow.
That I like and that have helped me at least. So
those are all on your website. So once again, I'm going to tell people they can go look. I mean, this is a fantastic list of books. And I think it's super fun, even that includes the games, because a lot of people have kids and I think those would be great for them. So it's owleyeswilderness.com and then /blog is your blog with knife safety tips and acorn recipes, finding warmth in cold places, just amazing articles on there. And then if they did owleyeswilderness.com/books, that's where you've got that book list. And so do you have classes that are running right now? Like if people wanted to go, would they be able to sign up for something?
Yep. So I have, I guess, kind of three types of classes. I have public classes that venues host. So like the day after Thanksgiving, there's a place in Haverhill, Mass. That's doing two. They're doing a fishing handline class and a shelter class with me.
Okay.
Anybody can sign. I think it's a kids class, but anybody can sign up to that.
Right.
And then I do private programs. So that would be like a homeschool pod, books, mm-hmm. a homeschool program, or just a kid's birthday party or something like that. And then I have
A fun idea. The birthday so I
go to,
party.
Yeah, and I'll go to people's houses and just do birthday parties in their backyard or whatever
wow.
for a group of kids. You know, use knives, make a shelter, make fire.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. I just did one where the boy wanted to make atlatls, mm-hmm. which is the spear thrower. So we made those and that was his birthday
wow.
party. So that's a great birthday party if you ask me.
It sure is.
But I wish I had that when I was a kid.
Yeah. I would imagine that all of the things you're doing, you can look at through the lens of this is what I would have wanted to do
oh,
with
yeah.
my childhood.
Yeah, 100%. And then the third kind of category is like classes that I host myself.
Mm-hmm.
Those happen rarely because my schedule usually fills with like private homeschool programs
right.
or venues and stuff. But I just yesterday put up on my calendar, December 18th, I have like a day and it's just, you know, cheap classes just to get people out there, just to make
wow.
it very accessible. Spoon carving class and a fire building class.
Wow.
So
where
like
are those? Where do you do
those
it?
Those are in Pepperell, Massachusetts.
Okay. And do you just use, I know you had talked at the very beginning about having permission to use different land. Are those at like state parks or where do you
so
end up going?
This is actually behind a school.
Okay.
So they let me, I reached out. It's not a school or I don't even know what it is now, but it's where I went to school when I was a kid, but then
wow.
they shut it down or something. And
yeah,
then some
sure.
other
that happens a lot.
Collaborative took it over. So now it's I think they rent out like the classrooms to other businesses if they need like mm-hmm. a little office.
Wow.
And then there's like a dance studio in there now and people can rent it out and do stuff.
That's actually really neat, Tim, like how life comes full circle. Right
yeah,
in the back
exactly,
of the
right?
school
I was
that
like,
you
this
went
is cool.
to.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And then when I went to go meet the guy, give me permission, we walked around the school and I was like, I remember this. This was
yeah.
like, you know, 25 years ago or whatever.
Wow.
But you know, but it was cool to go back. But now I can go and teach. And I actually am teaching in a spot where they built this like little wetland dock
mm-hmm.
back there as like, you know, a fundraiser thing. So people
yeah.
could go back there and at least have some nature exposure. Nobody. And they built that when I was in school, right?
Wow.
So this was when I was like, whatever,
yeah.
6 or 7. This was like the first school I went to. Nobody took care of it. So it's just,
oh.
there's like invasive bittersweet vines over
wow.
it. The dock is all apart. So they let me do whatever I want there. So what I'm doing is I can go in, clear out stuff, make trails and make it.
Oh.
It's kind of cool because it's like, it's a cool project that I get to like,
yeah.
I haven't really had a chance to like, here's a plot of land. Now I get to kind of restore it
wow.
in a way that like people just the general, I'm not
yeah.
doing it for me. Obviously I'm doing it where I can like, it's easy for me to teach classes, but it's like, it's not my land. So I'm going to go clear trails and make
wow.
it so that people can.
They can utilize it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh, so that's
then
so interesting.
You know, yeah. Like I just had a scout group reach out. They're like, hey, we're really low on expenses, but can we do like, what are your prices? Can we do something? I was like, well, here's my prices, but
yeah.
if you guys want to trade, we can do some trail work and
wow.
I'll give you a class right after, you know? So,
oh, that's so
things
cool
like that. Cause I'm always open. Cause this should be obviously I need to pay rent and
mm-hmm.
buy gas and food, but
yeah.
this should be accessible
yeah.
to everybody. So I'm always
yeah.
trying to work things out.
And I like what you said too. It should be part of just the everyday curriculum. Like, can people add in some of these things to the regular curriculum of childhood, all of these different skill sets?
Yeah,
would be
exactly.
so cool for kids to know how to build a fire and a shelter and all
yeah.
sorts of things. So owleyeswilderness.com is the website, at Owl Eyes Wilderness on Instagram and Facebook. You have this class coming up on December 18th for the day. So if people are in your area, that is so cool. Okay, we always end with the same question, Tim, and this is going to probably be a hard one for you. but what is a favorite outdoor childhood memory that you have?
Oh, geez. You know, growing up, we always went up to Pittsburgh, New Hampshire. It's the most northern town in New Hampshire, border of
yeah.
Canada. And, you know, it's a place, they call it Moose Alley.
Wow.
And growing up, it was a lot more different, but now it's kind of like developed.
Mm-hmm.
But I still go up there. It's a huge fly fishing place and people go up there and moose watch.
Wow.
But we would literally see like tons of moose throughout the week. We'd go out looking for moose.
Wow.
So that you know, that was like
yeah.
a big,
yeah.
cause that was like my, we're like tracking moose, you know?
Yeah.
So that was like me as a kid.
Wow.
So that was like a big, I'd say that's
yeah.
a good
that's
memory
awesome.
For me is going up there and seeing those
that's
massive
awesome.
Animals.
Wow, Tim.
So.
I so appreciate this. It has been so neat
Thank you
for
so
me
much.
To read through your website, to learn all of the different things that you're doing, all of these skills that you're passing on to adults and to kids. So well done. Way to go. And thank you so much for taking this hour. I know you're busy and it's hard to find that balance. So thank you for taking this hour to spend with to spend with us and to teach us about, really is to teach us about like all the things that are actually out there, all the different types of offerings, all the different types of ways that we could live our life. I think that's really inspiring. So really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It was great to meet you and talk to you.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.